This is the Good Neighbor Podcast, the place where local businesses and neighbors come together. Here's your host, Mike Sedita.
Hello out there. Welcome to episode 169 of the Good Neighbor Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Sedita, and today I am joined by Janine McLeod. She is the owner of Cloud 9 Studios in Wesley Chapel. Janine, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks for having me.
So glad to have you on. I have seen your shop. I've been in there. I used to live in Seven Oaks, so I was always kind of around in that area. And I work with other businesses that are right in, I mean, that complex you're in is pretty big. There's all these little areas to kind of navigate through there. So I'm very familiar with your location and some of your work. If you're not familiar with my work, the Good Neighbor Podcast was started in 2020 as a way for business owners to really just kind of fill people in the community as to what they had going on while remaining socially distant. And over the last 4 years, the Good Neighbor Podcast has evolved into a national brand. We have podcasts from Denver to Atlanta to Philadelphia. And I'm the person here in Tampa that gets to talk to business owners like you. So with that said, tell us a little bit about Cloud 9.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. So Cloud 9 Studios, we are a children's photography studio. And so when people ask what we photograph, I always jokingly say we photograph children and the adults that come along with them every now and then. So while as a lot of photographers focus on family and adults and headshots and things like that, we really focus on the children and the babies in the family. So the smaller people.
So now will you do that other stuff? Like if someone, like if a mom and dad bring their son or daughter in to do their shoot there and they say, hey, we're all dressed up, we want to get a family shot. Or do you just say, no, you're too grown, you need to get out of the photo?
No, absolutely. We photograph families and I'm very passionate about the interactions and the memories that we create with our children. But we focus primarily on the child. So let's say like we're photographing a first birthday session and mom and dad want to be a part of that celebration too. We'll start with that. And actually with babies and children, it's a great way for the child to get acclimated to the studio, to not think like mom and dad are just leaving them behind.
Right.
And then, you know, going out for lunch. So it really helps, honestly, to have mom and dad sit with the baby, take some portraits with the baby, interact, play with them, and create that little special celebration as well of the memory. But then we move quickly onto the baby or the child in question. Family portraits more in the holidays.
Saying is very rarely do parents just drop their kid off at the door and say, Janine, you take them. We're going to go over to Noble Cross for an hour and we'll be back.
That doesn't happen.
So I guess the next question I have is, and I'm always curious about this, when you're filming, you know, when you're taking pictures of babies, do you have a go-to toy? I mean, or does it vary by kid? Or is there a go-to toy that is like your lockdown, fail safe, gets them focused, gets their attention and brings them back? Or is there no such toy that exists?
So we always ask the parents ahead of time as we're preparing for the session, what is it that will make your baby do exactly what you just said? Like, no matter what, this will make your baby smile. Is it a song? Is it a toy? Bring it along with you. Because a lot of times their toys will make them smile or be happier. But in all honesty, besides bubbles, which are always like, kids just love bubbles. Do you have kids, Mike?
Yeah, but she's a little bit older. She's kind of into bubbles, just not enamored with them.
Not enamored with them anymore. Well, like, I mean, if you go to Disney or Busch Gardens or anything, you know when they have like the bubbles?
Yeah.
Like, the wands with the bubbles. I mean, like, kids are just obsessed with bubbles. Yeah. And so that has always worked for us. But honestly, my singing, and it's ridiculous, and I don't sing well, but apparently I sound like Miss Rachel. And so when parents, like, we'll sing Wheels on the Bus and the kids love it. And I've been told by a few moms I sound like Miss Rachel, which kids love. So I'll start singing and it usually gets them to look and listen.
Okay. So unfortunately now, Janine, you are going to have to do a verse of Wheels on the Bus. You cannot tell us you sing Wheels on the Bus. So let's break into a little Wheels on the Bus. Go.
Well, can you cry for me first, Mike?
let's see how this goes. All right, maybe we'll save the singing for later. Yeah. So I will tell you, if there was a bubble with Taylor Swift inside of it, the 11-year-old would very much focus, but right. The bubbles by themselves, not right. So much. So tell me, so have you always, like, this is a, I don't want to say niche, but it is kind of a niche photography, because there is, there's wedding photographers, there's real estate photographers, there's everybody that kind of does their thing. How do you get into this? Do you have small kids that you, this became your passion because of them, or were you always just looking for kids to cry in studio?
Yeah, no, actually I started off as a wedding photographer back when I lived in Atlanta. Wedding photography is a need, you know, people need weddings. And so as a photographer, when you're looking to photograph people, it's an easy place, easier place to start. There's wedding fairs. There's just a whole,
right.
There's already like this subculture.
Yeah.
Yeah. To get into that. But I quickly grew tired of photographing weddings.
It's hard. It is really hard to do weddings, because not only is it, it's like this life event. Yeah, I get that. But you got bridezillas. I don't know what's worse. What's worse? I'll ask you. A bridezilla or a three-year-old who just can't focus? I would go with the bridezilla. I would say that's way worse.
Yeah, well, a three-year-old has an excuse, right?
Right, the brides have none.
For me, it was honestly, it was the scheduling. And I didn't like having my life planned out a year ahead.
Yeah, I missed
family events. I missed friends events. Yeah. I missed friends' weddings.
And you're always working on nights and week. It's always weekends.
Yeah.
So a couple questions. So where in Atlanta did you live, and how long have you been in Tampa from Atlanta?
So I lived up in Lawrenceville when I lived in Atlanta, and I've been here now for 18 years.
Lawrenceville. When's the last time you went back to Lawrenceville?
I was up in Marietta over the holidays.
So, listen, everybody complains about, I lived in Cumming and I had an ad agency in Alpharetta.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The traffic just is terrible. Lawrenceville was probably one of the worst. I mean, just going out to Lawrenceville, the sprawl that was out there was really bad. But I lived in Cumming and it was just becoming that bad as well. And a buddy of mine is a big photographer in Atlanta that he owns, a photography studio. He does the same exact story. You know, he did weddings in the beginning and it was just kind of like, it wore him down to the point where he just wanted to do other stuff. Now he just does, a lot of his stuff was graduation stuff. Like the kids are a little bit older. It's their next step in life, that type of thing. So that's a big part of it too. So you've been here 17 years. Have you always been in Wesley Chapel?
Yeah, we've always been right here. Back when it was cow pastures.
back when it was double ranch, back before it was changed. So what brings you, what gets you from Atlanta to Wesley Chapel?
So I actually grew up sort of in Newport Richey for a little bit. And then my parents had moved to Gainesville when I started high school. So I lived in Gainesville in high school and went to college there. So I've always been a Florida girl. But typical kid, you grow up and I'm like, I got to get out of here. I want to go see the big city. And so my first job out of college, I took a job in Atlanta and lived there for 7 years. But then I just wanted to come home. My whole family lives here. My parents live here. My brothers and sisters live here. All my friends were here. So I just wanted to come back.
And your background in college, was it like an entrepreneurial trip? I mean, was it photographing football games? I mean, was it taking pictures of Tim Tebow on a knee? I mean, was this kind of your concentration, or was this a passion that you had that you, you know, said, hey, I'm going to go get a degree in X, and now this is what I really love to do?
So I love the fact that you think I'm young enough to have been in college with Tim Tebow. So thank you.
I got gray hair, my dear. I'm just trying to keep up. I wouldn't say Steve Spurrier. I'm not going to say that.
I was a Steve Spurrier graduate. So I was there with Danny Werfel. So
okay. Right,
so I was there for the 96 championship. Right. That is my proud thing. We were at the Sugar Bowl for that. So, but no, my degree was actually in engineering, believe it or not. So I have an engineering degree, mechanical engineering. Photography was just always a hobby. But engineering is a... especially mechanical engineers, it's a really even mix between creativity and technical, right? And so I was always good in math and science, but also art as a kid. And so I went into engineering because I was good at math and science, and most parents don't tell their kids to follow their love of art.
So the thing about mechanical engineering, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a component to it that is the technical side of knowing all the angles and the buildings and the structure type and all that stuff, but there's also a design component to it. If you're doing like, were you designing buildings or like cities?
So I was mechanical, not civil. So mechanical engineers, it's more about parts that things that move. The reason why I went to Atlanta is I went to go work for Motorola. And so I did plastic design. So
what's Motorola? No, I'm just kidding.
I know, right? Who knows what Motorola
is? That aged you more than Danny Werfel. I'll tell you that right now. Did you have a BlackBerry? I mean, we all had BlackBerries. So, okay. So you worked for Motorola. You were doing this engineering and you just kind of were like, this is boring as hell. And I need
It was boring as hell. College was really interesting with engineering because you get to design a lot and it's very creative. It feeds that creativity. When I was working for Motorola in the beginning, I loved it. I got to design. But then pretty soon you're just designing the same thing over and over again, just making it smaller and lighter, you know, and it's just like, ugh. So I took up photography because we had to travel a lot. So I was over in Asia and Singapore and China and like all these different places. And I was like, why am I not taking pictures of where I'm going?
Yeah.
And so I got my first camera when I was an engineer and started taking. But of course, as an engineer, you don't do anything
this isn't for kids. You don't do anything that fast. You probably bought a $4,000 camera that has 16 batteries in it, that has the highest resolution possible, and read the book from beginning to end.
And took classes. Yeah. So I learned everything about this camera, took all the classes before heading over to Asia. And I just fell in love with photography. Fell in love with it. And I always knew my days were numbered at Motorola. My whole family ran businesses. They were all entrepreneurs. So I just thought my path was going to be like engineering consulting or something one day.
Right. A branch of that, but kind of doing the entrepreneurial thing.
Yeah. So, but yeah, once I fell in love with photography and I like people, like, you know, so you, as you can imagine, maybe even just talking to me for a short while, sitting in a cubicle behind a computer all day was not really my thing.
Well, I'll tell you, Gene, it's funny. So I spent 20 years in corporate like finance. I worked for insurance companies. I managed a call center. I did all kinds of stuff. So like when I laugh about the engineering thing, about reading the book beginning to end, I worked in an office in Perimeter in Atlanta before the stock market crashed in 2009 or, you know, around that time, the real estate market, with like six actuaries. Like there's engineer and then there's actuary on the like – nerd scale.
Right,
I mean,
you're up
there. And that was the same type of mindset. Like everything got dissected from inside and out from every angle because that is just the way their brain functioned. But I worked a corporate job 20 years. I just was good at what I did and I made a bunch of money. So it was like, how do I leave? Like, how do I make that transition? What I love hearing about your story is I'm a big wuss. Like I needed divine intervention of the real estate market crashing to be forced out of it into this marketing world that I live in. And I'm always in awe of people who are like, I just love this. I am going to make the move and do this. How do you specifically transition? Are you, you know, your days are numbered at Motorola and you're like, I love this. I get a thrill doing this. How do you make that first, like that first side job? Like how does that first thing happen and what, how does it steamroll from there?
So for me, one of the courses that I took, the instructor was a wedding photographer. And so I started assisting him on weekends. And that's how I kind of started making that transition. I worked at Motorola during the week. I assisted him on weekends with the weddings. And then soon enough, ended up photographing weddings on my own on the weekends. And I did that for about 3 years while still working at Motorola. And then I was doing, because that was great, right? Your corporate job is during the week. Weddings were on the weekends.
Right.
I never mind working all the time. I'm not a good relaxer. So it was, you know, it was great. And then I quickly realized that like, I didn't want to like more, the more I was loving photography, the less I liked being at
Yeah. It's like torture. It's like
it was
being
like torture. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so now you have the studio there in Wesley Chapel. I'm assuming 95% of your stuff is done in studio. Do you occasionally go out and do outside stuff or not?
Yeah, we'll occasionally go out, like especially for larger families. Like if we're going to do family portraits, sometimes it's just easier to go outside than to do them in the studio. Occasionally I'll design a theme for our holiday sessions that involve going outdoors and on location. We've done like a scene up at Covington Farms and we've rented the farm for the day and set up to do portraits there of the kids. In general though, like I find children work better in the studio. We don't have to deal with the elements. We don't have to deal with the heat, the rain. And you know, so like, as you know, I mean, we're just preheating here in Florida right now,
but
it's
the oven is set. It's just getting, it'll be another couple of weeks. It'll be up.
Yeah. There. And it's just too hot. Like the kids flush fast. You know, they get cranky faster and I like control. and I can control the
I as an engineer, Janine, I don't picture that you like control. But all right, if you say so, I'll take your word for it. So you said, you know, when we were doing like a little pre-interview that, you know, you were worried about a session ending. How many photographers do you have there that are actually doing sessions besides you?
I have another photographer. So I have one other right now.
Just two.
Yep. So there's two of us. And so Elizabeth photographs most of the first birthday sessions now. And so they had a session going on and it was really loud. And I was like, oh dear, I hope it ends.
Listen, I have a 62-pound English bulldog as we speak. You see him in the picture there, laying on right by my foot, like right here, snoring so loud. The only reason you can't hear him is because I had to lay an area rug down or else it would vibrate the entire floor.
Oh,
before I did that, I would have people say to me, is it raining where you are? And I'm like, no, it's nice. I'm like, oh, we hear like a rumbling and it would be him snoring under the desk.
That's funny.
So, you know, I know what it's like. He doesn't cry, but, you know, he does. Yeah. He can get temperamental, and sometimes he probably should wear a diaper. But this is a totally different conversation for another day. One of the things I love to find out from entrepreneurs, because you sort of alluded to it here, is, well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
As when you're working a corporate job, and this is the people I talk to a lot that say this, they're working a corporate job and say, I want to be an entrepreneur because I just want to be my own boss and make my own hours. And the kind of the dream is you're going to become an entrepreneur and you're just going to work 3 hours a week and the money is just going to be printed. And that's the way it works. And then they actually become an entrepreneur, realize that it's a time consuming more than your 9-to-5 job was. How do you downtime? So like you just said a minute ago, you don't do downtime well, or you don't do relax well. Do you have hobbies that you do outside of the studio, or are you just constantly editing photos?
No. So I do not constantly edit photos. I actually have a team member that edits for me. My downtime. So my boyfriend and I, we love concerts. And so concerts and sporting events. Obviously I'm a Gator, Mike. So I love football.
You're a Gator, but whether or not that's football, that's a different podcast too.
That's a different podcast.
No, I get it. Okay, so you're a big Florida Gator fan for that. Do you go to the Bucks games? Do you go to the Lightning games? What is the sport, your go-to sport?
So I have two. I love football and I love hockey. Huge Lightning fan. I was a season ticket holder for a long time. And it just got to be a little too much to get to all the games. But I love Lightning games. I love football games. I'm actually a Jets fan, which I know you can say feel sorry.
How?
For me. I know.
How?
Well, my whole family's from New York originally. And so I grew up watching the Jets with my grandfather and my brothers. And so it just kind of kicked in. But so I love them, but they don't really.
So your family's from Queens or Long Island? Which one?
Long Island.
Okay. See, how do I know that? Because Queens and Long Island is generally Jets.
Yeah.
Every other borough in New Jersey, and part of New Jersey is a mix, but is mostly Giants. I'm a Giants fan. If you cannot tell on my wall behind me, you can see my Michael Strahan.
Oh, yeah, I see it. There you go.
So I'm a huge Giants fan. So you end up the Jets fan. So that we technically, I guess that's football. But this year, Aaron Rodgers should actually maybe stay healthy. So that would actually help.
If
he can get past the first set of downs, that's a win. Because last year he didn't make it.
If he can get past the first snap this year.
Concert-wise, so what is your genre? Do you guys have the season passes to the fairgrounds, or do you not like to be outside for that? I just saw Cheap Trick and Heart the other day, which was nice. Which was fun. But what do you have lined up? What are you going to see?
We've been to Vegas twice to see U2. Huge U2 fan.
At the Sphere.
Oh my God, Mike, you have to go. It was insane.
Yeah, I hear it's really incredible.
Incredible. But lined up here, we just finished seeing Billy Joel and Sting. That was incredible.
I saw that too at Ray J.
Unbelievable. I cannot believe the way Sting is still moving around at 78. Unreal.
Crazy.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Crazy. We're going to see Sammy Hagar. We have Styx tickets. We have a Five for Fighting. We saw Kenny Chesney and Zach Brown. I love Zach Brown.
That's cool. I lived in Georgia. A bunch of my friends went to West Georgia, which is Zach Brown's stomping ground. So they had seen when he was first coming on the scene when I was living in Georgia, they were like, oh, we saw him in college playing bars in Carrollton. We're going to see Alanis Morissette coming up. We're going to see, there's a whole bunch.
There's a lot coming here this year.
There's a whole bunch of stuff coming. I did want to say, is the U2, isn't their residency ending soon at the
Studio? It's done. It's over.
It's done. Okay, I thought so. My ex-wife was my first wife. Okay, I have two exes. My first wife was a huge U2 fan, and she worked for a company where she just had access to a ticket broker. I've seen U2 3 times. And Bono is just incredible every single time. Like, people make fun of him because he's like so rock star-ish, but he puts on a show that is just unbelievable. Yeah. It's incredible. And I can't imagine. The Sphere looks amazing. Who's coming there next?
The Grateful Dead, I think.
Oh, see, and I never liked the Grateful Dead.
They just never did it for me. Nah, I don't think so.
So concerts, sporting events, and then the Gators and the Jets, we'll kind of put them in a separate category. So you're in Wesley Chapel. You're a part of the community. I think, I may be wrong about this, but I think you and I kind of just missed each other. You were a Rotarian in the Wesley Chapel Rotary at one point.
Yes.
And I think as I was coming into the Rotary, you were, I guess, coming out of it. Do you do stuff like that? Or, I mean, I know you're not in the Rotary Club because I'm in it right now, but I mean, you're welcome to come back. We have, you know, New Year starting. I'm going to be Sergeant at Arms. It's going to be amazing.
I know. Captain Rob keeps begging me to come back.
Who is?
Captain Rob Hamilton.
I literally just texted him 15 minutes ago because we were planning his party, his summer. Yeah, we're planning that right now. All right. So maybe we'll see each other there. I love Captain Rob. Him and I played trivia at the Brass Tap for like months and months and months. He is a great guy. We could do a whole podcast on him. But yeah, I mean, the group is great. But do you do other stuff? Since you're not doing that, have you reshifted your calendar to do other community type stuff?
Yeah, so I came out of Rotary because of several things. When COVID kind of came, I started mentoring for a group of photographers, and the company's based overseas. And our main webinar time is Wednesdays from noon till 3.
Yeah.
And so I kind of interfered with with our Rotary time. And I didn't want to miss lunch every week, and then do stuff on the weekend. So long story with that. But so I do a lot with that group, mentoring other photographers, and that takes up a lot of time. But otherwise it's really a lot through my kids' schools. And so my daughter is about to be a senior in high school. And so I've been doing a lot in volunteering, and she's just very active right now. And so I have to go back from Rotary a little bit to do more work with them.
So where is she graduating from?
Academy at the Lakes.
Huh, okay. Wow. We are very intertwined. We'll have that conversation, but Academy at the Lakes. So she's going to be a senior. And I was literally just at Academy of the Lakes yesterday, talking to Sue Gunther, who is one of the people I work with there.
Yeah.
So what is she involved in at Academy at the Lakes? Is she in the drama club? Is she in the engineering fast track? What is she doing?
So she was on the swim team with Sue's son. So they swam together last year.
Tell me she learned to swim at Watermelon Swim, because I literally just recorded a podcast with them 20 minutes ago. I was going to say too much. It'd be like the Bermuda Triangle.
So she swims
with Sue's son.
And then she does Odyssey of the Mind.
I'm not going to guess. I didn't want to guess what that is. What is Odyssey of the Mind?
So it's an interesting competition that merges the creative and the technical. It's very interesting, very intriguing. They didn't have it when I was young.
Is it like a virtual reality?
No. So there's like 10 different program or problems, and the each team picks which problem they want to compete in. So Aaron's problem this year, they had to design a robot that would move through a movie scene. So they had to act the movie scene. They had to build the movie scene. And they had to have this robot complete certain tasks. So it really mixed the drama, the acting, the creativity, and then also the technical bits of having to build this robot.
That's pretty in depth. Mm-hmm. I mean, in high school, I'm 52. So there was no robotics. There was no cell phone. There was like none of that. The cell phone we had as a kid was a block. It was like the size of my hands like this. It was like that big. And it sat in the car plugged into the cigarette lighter. The technology wasn't around for me when I was
there. That was the Dynatac made by Motorola, by the way.
It was. I think it was a Motorola. And then the funny thing, though, is I go over there because they're one of my clients. I work with Academy at the Lakes. And they're building. It's so beautiful. The stuff they're making that place. I mean, your daughter's not going to get to enjoy any of it.
I know, she's not going to get to enjoy it, but yes.
But it really is gorgeous. They're transforming the whole section of the campus. It looks great. It looks amazing. So she's going to graduate next year, and I'm assuming she's applying to be a Gator. She's not going to go to the University of Georgia, is she?
Yeah, no. She's not going to the University of Georgia. So it's so funny. I told her, listen, baby, I want you to live your dream. You go where you want to go, except for
Florida State,
Georgia, and Alabama.
Perfect.
So anywhere else is open to your dreams.
So Auburn is open game. You can go to Auburn. We don't have any bitter rivalry with those guys. You can go anywhere you want. That's awesome. So if I'm listening to this, like if I'm a mom and a dad and I'm listening to this and I want to get, you know, a family shot, shots of our baby, or I'm kind of like 7-8 months pregnant, and maybe you guys do those pre-delivery type pictures, or you don't do pre-baby pictures. Nah, that's the larger subject. But if I'm getting ready to have the baby and I want to do the shoot, or I just have a young child, I want to do it, what's the best way for people to connect with you?
So they can connect with us by calling us. But if they want to see us online, our website, our Instagram, and our Facebook are very active. I'm posting on Facebook and Instagram almost every day. And so it's a really great way to people follow us. On Instagram, it's at Cloud9 Studios. It's the number 9 in there. And same thing on Facebook. We keep it easy.
Well, that's easy. You got all that stuff lined up. So folks, if you're listening to this, and you don't have to be in Wesley Chapel. I mean, you could be in Zephyr Hills, Dade City, San Antonio, Land O'Lakes. Come over from New Tampa, Tampa Palms. Come up and see Janine. Her studio is great. It's right in Wesley Chapel, right behind Sam's Club in that little section of Seven Oaks that is sort of a business complex. You could call them to get some information at 813-994-4552, or you could check them out on all their socials. It's at Cloud9, and you could look up all their work and see what they do. Janine, thank you for being a good neighbor. Thank you for being on the Good Neighbor Podcast. You have an amazing day.
Thank you for having me, Mike. This has been fun.
Thanks for listening to the Good Neighbor Podcast Passco. To nominate your favorite local businesses to be featured on the show, go to gnppassco.com. That's gnppassco.com, or call 813-922-3610.